Bible friends, seems to me at least anyways, seldomly read book in these days in your land. Maybe perhaps it's time that you inquired of the Lord, that you turned from your own ways, your own autonomous thinking, and began to think God's thoughts after Him. They're to be found, of course, in the Bible and nowhere else. Copy of the entire New Testament is offered to you this afternoon free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. But it is God's Word, and it has the ability that no other writing has, and that is to make you wise, not so much clever, but wise for salvation. That is to be found in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. One who calls, yet calls men and women out of the darkness and into His marvelous light, because His light is marvelous. Why walk in the darkness when you can walk in the light? Darkness, of course, in the Bible symbolizes evil, sin, wickedness, and of course the consequences, the outworking of it that's so evident in your society today, and of course in your own hearts and lives. Jesus, He bids you to come to Him, ever does. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Jesus is easy to get along with. Doesn't drive. It's not a hard taskmaster. Not like your sin, you know, that wants His pound of flesh, that takes the health out of you, the wealth out of you, and of course the soul out of you eventually, if you're at it for long enough. Jesus is not a hard taskmaster like you know, your world religions. You know, you got to be doing, they say. Religion, of course, is always about doing what the religion tells you. And of course, they're happy with you as long as you're doing what they tell you to do, but you stop doing what they want you to do, and they're no longer happy with you. But of course, religion doesn't bring God into your soul, doesn't bring life, doesn't bring the life of God into your soul, doesn't bring the rest of God that Jesus promises to those who come to Him. He calls you to come that you might know this divine rest, this peace. The Bible describes as passing all understanding. Given to all who come, given to all who trust. Jesus assures and promises that He will in no way turn any sinner away, whoever and whatever they be. He will never turn them away, those who sincerely and truly come to Him for rest. So Jesus, yeah, He's easy to get along with. His heart's open, it's still open. Always has been since the day He shed His precious blood on the cross with outstretched arms. wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was his love for sinners such as you and I. His heart still open. It's his joy, it's his delight to save. Judgment of God's the reality, but that's God's strange work. He delights in salvation. He delights in men and women who come to Him and trust in Him, who forsake their sin, forsake the darkness and come to the light. It's His joy to save. You know, I'd never in all these years, you know, since the Word of God, the promise of the Gospel was declared in the world, as Jesus, forgotten poor sinners. Pity, sympathy, you know, in the heart of Jesus for sinners broken by their own foolishness, broken by their own sinful habits, broken by the sins of others too. Jesus never forgets the poor sinner. Oh, there's pity at the right hand of God, the Son of God in Jesus. He came, He proved, He demonstrated His love for such as you and I by coming into this world, by dying the cross and rising again from the dead, in order that you might be restored to God, that you might be delivered from the wearisome pathway of sin. Jesus, you see, His heart is set upon this work of salvation, of redemption. It's the heartbeat, it's the impulse of Jesus. You know, it's His delight, it's His, His heartbeat, you know, salvation. Takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would rather that you turned. He would rather that you turned from your evil ways and turned to Him and found salvation, found peace and rest. That's His assured, you know, heart revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible. He was sent into the world by His Father for this very purpose, to save. It's what His name means, Jesus. Name means Savior, given to Him His Father. His Heavenly Father, His Divine Father, shall call His name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. His name is a very suitable one given to Him, because He's the one with the ability, the power to save all who come to Him, all find rest. And this salvation of which we speak, which is not an opinion of ours, but the revealed Word of God come to you with an open Bible, that you might know that these thoughts are not mine. These thoughts are not the thoughts of an instituted religion or church. It is God's opinion, God's thoughts. Come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Salvation is at the price of His own blood. That's how much He loved, that He was willing to suffer the hands of men and go to that cross, drink every last dreg of suffering and of death, in order that you might not face death but have eternal life. Thank you, my dear. God bless you. Thank you. See, the price is awesome, the precious, precious blood of a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. All of this was planned and worked out before God created anything. of this world. Sent His Son. God bless you, madam. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die, to shed His blood, to pay the ultimate price for sin, that you might go free, that you might walk away from the darkness. Be assured, whoever and whatever you are this afternoon, whatever you've been, whatever you've been doing, whatever catalog, list of sin you have against you, friends, be assured, He has the power to save the worst and the best of you. He has the power to save those deep, entrenched and bondage to sin, laboring, weary of it, longing for something better, longing to be free of that which has entrapped them and can't get loose. Believe me, Jesus, He has the power to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. In fact, there is no other way by which you can come to God. Oh, you can use one of the world religions, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Roman Catholicism, but your prayers are dead prayers. The prayers of the wicked God will not hear. Only through His Son, only through His beloved Son, only through His only Son, Jesus Christ, who declares Himself clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father only through Jesus Christ. But if you will come, you will find rest, rest for your soul, for your weary, weary soul. The weary, those whom Jesus here invites, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Weary, perhaps, dissatisfied with this world and its creatures too. Do you believe there are many, many such people in our land today, in our world today? Where's the world going to, people ask? Some go as far as to make the statement, it's going to hell, that's for sure. That's for sure. Generation, an adulterous and wicked generation, they can't get there fast enough, friends. Seems at least anyway. But for those who are weary, Jesus, He calls you, weary of this world, of His wickedness, of His evil, and His creatures too. Where can you find another human being that you can trust, that won't let you down, that won't disappoint your hopes, that won't leave you dashed in pieces again? You know, you put your trust in your fellow man, maybe even relatives, and again, they let you down. Broken relationships abound in our society today. Broken marriages, broken partnerships, you know, always leaving you crushed and weary, and you think to yourself before you pick yourself up and go again, you think perhaps maybe for a moment, surely there must be a better way than this, and there is. Jesus says, come to me, because He will satisfy you. He will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. He invites you into a relationship with Himself and His Father, a relationship that just never, never comes to an end. You may disappoint Him, but He will never disappoint you. So are you weary of this world and its creatures, fed up to the back teeth of it letting you down, disappointing you? Well then come to me, says Jesus. I will give you rest. Weary perhaps of the wickedness that abounds and grows. Because that wickedness is not going to go away. Not sometime soon. fact, the Bible says, you know, it's going to grow worse towards the end of the age. Evil men, the Bible says, God says, evil men will grow worse and worse. They won't get better. They won't get better. Only God can make evil men good men. Now, they're going to grow worse and worse, friends. And so is this world along with them. You're one of those who are weary of the wickedness that you see in this world abounding and growing, the slaughtering and the killing. Maybe, perhaps, you know, you embrace, because of school and college, university, you know, you embrace this nonsense theory, as it's so called, a lie from the devil called evolution. Well, if you stop and think about it, all the evil, the wickedness, and the growing of it, to consider all the killing and the slaughtering, well, if you really believe in evolution, well, isn't that the norm? Isn't that survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say that you've believed? Isn't that what you say that you've embraced, that you've taken on with your mind? But the truth of the matter is, you don't believe it. You say you do. You say you believe in evolution, but you don't. Not really. You're not committed to it. Because you are just as weary as the rest of us of all the killing, the slaughter, the evil that pervades your world today. But here's the thing, friends. That evolution business is just nonsense. It's a lie from the very pit of hell. Used to blind you to the reality of God and His love, and the escape that He offers you in the gospel and coming to His Son, Jesus Christ. So you're weary of the wickedness that abounds in the world and society, weary of the growing evil. Then people come to Jesus. He bids you so to do, and I will give you rest. Weary perhaps of the vanities, you know, the emptiness that you toil, that you labor for 24/7, you know, not just the man, not just the husband that goes out to work now. He works 24/7, and so do the women. Everybody in the household has to work 24/7, as many hours as you possibly can. Lest, of course, you're on the benefit system. But you're not toiling and laboring night and day. Pay the mortgage, you know. Pay for the car, and pay for all the other trinkets and baubles, you know, that you fill your homes and your cupboards with. You labor night and day, 24/7, for all of these things, but they're just emptiness. There's no satisfaction in them, because no matter what you get, no matter when you get it, the very best, you know, that you've ever longed for, wished for, the moment you get it, is flat. It doesn't satisfy. And immediately you're wanting, desiring something else. And it just never comes to an end. It's vanity, it's emptiness. Vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity, says the preacher in God's Word, the Bible. But if you come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary of laboring, toiling for empty things, for vanities, to come to me, says, I'll give you rest, contentment, satisfaction for your soul. Because only the bread of life really that can satisfy a man or woman. You're weary of drinking, but your thirst is never slaked. You drink and drink as much as you can. Not necessarily alcohol. You know, you drink at the well, you drink at the fountain of this world. It will never satisfy. It will never slake your thirst. Come to me, says Jesus, and drink of the water of life freely. One who comes to me, says Jesus, puts their trust in Him. He gives to them living water. Never thirst again. But you go back to the pub, no matter how many times you go back, you have to go back again and again and again, because your thirst is never slaked. No matter how much you drink, never slaked. The water that I shall give you, Jesus says, you'll never thirst again. Oh, come to Him. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls the weary, those who are weary of drinking, but their thirst is never slaked. He invites the invitations to all under the sound of my voice. Come to me, He says, whoever, whatever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've been doing. Some people are weary, don't you know, of living in fear. There are people, men and women, who live in your own city today, who are afraid of opening their doors in daylight, never mind at night time. Constantly living in fear. Fear of the past, things that they've done, they've been involved in. Fear of the present, people around them perhaps, maybe even family members, terrified of them, frightened of the future, what it holds and what it doesn't hold for you. You tired? Are you weary of living in fear? Fear, anxiety, stress, call it what you will. But the foundation's the same for it all. Fear is the baseline. Are you weary? Are you tired of living in fear? Well, says Jesus, come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Those who are weary of living in fear, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. Gosh, people labor. People work for happiness. Always looking for happiness. That's the big one, isn't it? Everybody just wants to be happy. But of course, you look to the world for happiness. And it never produces, it never comes up with the goods. Because the world can't give you happiness. Maybe just for a moment. Maybe just for a moment, maybe a time of fleeting happiness, but it doesn't last. Happiness in a new relationship, happiness, you know, in circumstances, things that you're doing, but it doesn't last. Jesus promises eternal happiness to those who come to Him. Laboring for happiness, come to Jesus. You desire, you know, the stuff. All the stuff that you seek after. All the stuff that you buy and sell. But it never brings you happiness. Doesn't last long, does it? It's not long before it's broken. It's not long before, you know, it needs repairing. Not long before it doesn't satisfy anymore. Because the stuff that you so long for, desire after, That doesn't bring satisfaction. That doesn't bring happiness. It can't. There's nothing created. Nothing that God has made that can itself satisfy you. Because you see, inside of you all, there's a God-shaped void that only God Himself can fill. That only Jesus Christ Himself can satisfy. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who labor, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Nobody ever found true rest until they found it in God through Jesus Christ. It's the way that you are created. It's the way God made you, you see. You can only truly be as a man, a woman made in the image of God. You can only ever be truly satisfied, content, happy. The arms and the bosom of your Creator, the one that made you. You long for, you desire profit and pleasure and comfort. But all of these, of course, is found in Jesus Himself. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, says Jesus? What good would it do you if this very afternoon the whole world was given to you? Yours, you know? What would you do with it? Huh? You can only live in one place at a time. You can only occupy one bit of space. So if you're given the whole world this afternoon, what would it profit you, says Jesus? And more so, if God was to require your soul tonight, if God was to remove you from this world scene tonight, what would the profit be? If you got all the profits, all the pleasures, and all the comforts that you lust after, what would it profit you? Would you be satisfied then? Would you be truly happy then? The Bank of England threw its doors open and said to you, go help yourself. Would you be happier? Would you be satisfied? Would you be content? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be changed one iota. Not one degree. It's only Jesus who bids you, who says to you this afternoon, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You who labor, you who work and chase after, work for and chase after profits and pleasures and comfort. Some of you, you labor, you toil for that which is illegal, that which you shouldn't, that which is sinful and wicked, that which is contrary to God's character and contrary to His law. Contrary to your very own nature, the image of God in which you are made, begin with. Some of you, this is a big one today. Oh, you work hard, you toil, and you labor after the sensuality, the flesh, the Bible calls it, sick and sinful, sexual immorality. Wonder how long it'll be before you're screwing your dogs and cats. Transgenderism, sodomy, fornication, sinful sex outside of marriage, sensuality, the flesh. Yeah, this is the day and generation of that. And in abundance, friends, it's a wicked and an adulterous generation, Jesus says. And there's a payback time, friends. You live according to the flesh, you'll die. You'll die in your sins. It'll destroy your body. It'll destroy your health. It'll destroy your soul. It'll destroy you in eternity. Friends, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, you will perish in your sin. Get out from amongst it. Be separate, says God, and I will receive you, be a father to you. Oh, friends, there's no rest. There's no satisfaction. There's no contentment in the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. Life, friends, that's what you need. What you got now is existence. Just going through the motions. Boring existence. Day after day after day. Round and round in your sinful, unbelieving circles. Up in the morning, yawn. Off to work if you've got a job. Or down to the dole queue if you haven't. Home again at night, you have a meal. Coronation Street, Emmerdale Farm, yawn. Off you go to bed, and that's what you call life. That's what you call living. That's not living, friend. That's just existence, a boring existence. Friends, it's life that you need. And life is to be found only in the Savior, only in Jesus. He who bids you come to Him, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. Friends, eternal life in Jesus. The world can't give you life. Pick up your newspaper. Watch the next news bulletin. And what have you got in every page, every article? Nothing but death. Because that's all that the world can produce. It's nothing but death. You live in a valley of death in this world. Only the author of life can give you life. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Come to Jesus. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. You who are weary, heavy laden, you are looking for rest. And of course, well, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the confirmation of this. For 2,000 years and more, men and women, not asking you to trust in something or somebody that hasn't got a track record, that hasn't been confirmed, affirmed, that hasn't been proved to be the genuine article. Thousands, millions of men and women these last 2,000 years have put their trust in Jesus Christ and found Him to be exactly who and what He says, declares, claims, and it has the ability to give, to come up with the goods, to give peace, to give rest, eternal rest, to the souls, men and women, who come to Him. Peace of mind, of course, that's a natural desire. A little bit of support here, friends, would be very welcome. A little bit of support here would be most welcome. So you see, friends, you know, peace of mind, that's a natural desire. Everybody, you know, desires it. Nobody wants the opposite. Nobody wants this peace. That's not natural, you know, but there are only two ways, you know, that are open to you, God's way and your way. And here's the thing, friends, the worst thing that God could possibly give you is your own way. You say, no, I don't want God. I reject Him. I reject the very notion that He exists. Well, you go that way, you embrace that, then, you know, you're Well, you just open the gate, you see. Or God opens the gate, you know, and just lets you go through, lets you go your own way. And the end of that, of course, is just sin and more sin. God punishes you, you see. But He punishes you with more sin. More and more sin. Gives you over to it, you know. You say, I want to do it my way, you know. Sinatra's old song, you know, I did it my way. Well, you do it your way, and God will give you your way, perhaps. Yeah? And it's just more and more sin, more and more dispeace. Not the peace you were looking for, not the rest that you wanted. The very opposite. Because sin robs you of peace. So you see, friends, it's a natural desire for somebody to want rest. But the other way, God's way, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He offers His peace that passes all understanding. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, peace with God. Knowing that you're right with God, that you've been justified by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and all. That all is well between heaven and your soul. Oh, it's a restful, it's a wonderful place to be. But you only get it in coming to Jesus. Coming in faith, that is. Coming in repentance and faith, believing. Profane, of course. They seek to excuse themselves, you know, to live in denial, but now that doesn't do any good either. That's, you know, to be like the old ostrich, you know, bury your head in the sand. As long as you remain in denial of your sin, the reality of God, and the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, as long as you live in denial, there's nobody can help you, not even God. You know, somebody, you got a friend, you got a relative with a drug problem, and you want to help them, and they say, well, no, it's not a problem, I can deal with it. Got an alcohol problem, you want to help them, you know, but you can't because... And they just turn around and say to you, it's not a problem, you know. I can deal with it. They can't, you know that. But they're in denial. And as long as they're in denial, you can't help them. Nobody can. You got to come out of your closet, as you see. You know? Sinner, acknowledge yourself to be what you are, a sinner before God. And your dispeace is the result of your sin, not being right with God. As long as you remain in denial, well, you rob yourself, you exclude yourself from the kingdom of God and from His peace. Then, of course, some people, well, you know, they take the moral high ground, respectable, you know, self-righteous, religious sometimes even, smattering religion on it. Go to church on a Sunday and hold everybody else in contempt. Look down your respectable, self-righteous nose. You're okay, you're a good dude, you know. Nobody could be offended at you, and least of all God. Because you're religious, and you're respectable, and you're moral. You're on the moral high ground. Yeah? And of course, you work at it. And you work at curtailing your lusts, you know, you would say, well, I'm not like other men. You know, I'm not a fornicator. I'm not a homosexual. I'm not a thief. I'm not a liar. I teach my children not to tell lies, you know. You're always on the higher moral high ground, you know. And, hey, friends, your morality, whether it be religious or other, your moral high ground in God's eyes is the low ground. Because there's nothing God despises more than self-righteousness. whether it be the religious variety or the godless variety. God despises self-righteousness. Jesus has got nothing to say to the self-righteous. No, friends, there's no peace there. None at all. You've got to work at it and work at it and work at it. You got to keep working at it, keeping the lusts down. But friend, no peace. No peace with God. No reconciliation. No atonement. No forgiveness. No eternal life. No life of God in your soul. No love of God in your soul. No heavenly destiny at the end of all your labors. And of course, well, I say to you, as I said before, if you happen to be awakened, your conscience, you know, God wakes you out of your slumber of death, of sin, and you begin to feel the pangs of conscience. Do you know where to go? Do you know who to go to? Do you know how to deal with a guilty conscience? In a way, I mean, that deals with it lastingly, everlastingly. Well, some people, of course, they would turn to the doctors, you know. They would lie in the doctor's surgery, you know, with many others, you know, looking for some kind of drug, tranquilizer, something to pacify their minds, numb the conscience, so you can carry on living in the same old way. But there's another way to deal with an awakened and guilty conscience. It's called the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the only way. That's the only way to deal with a guilty conscience. Get the sin under the blood of Christ. Get it washed away. Get it atoned for. Get the guilt removed. Peace with God, friends. Peace with God. And of course, well, you come to Jesus as he bids you to here this afternoon. You find reception on the basis of God's unconditional grace. Be received. Won't be turned away. Whatever your sin might be, whatever the cause of your dispeace might be, Jesus promises rest. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amazing grace. The free grace of God that reconciles a sinner to himself. No longer an enemy of God, but called a friend of God. You God's friend or God's enemy? It's one of the two. It's either or. Sinful mind is hostile and enmity against God. Consider, will you, that the majority of people, and I dare say the majority, probably 99.5% of people under the sound of my voice here this afternoon will go out of this world without the rest of God. Oh, you append the words. You append the words on the funeral note. R.I.P. Rest in peace. Or you put it on the tombstone. But there is no rest, says my God, for the wicked. There's no rest outside of Jesus Christ with God. You go out of this world in your state and condition of dispeace. That's your state and condition for all eternity. It's now in this world and time. that your peace must be made with God. But it saddens me, causes me to weep. It breaks my heart to think that the majority of you here this afternoon, you will go out of this world on the wrong side of God, not reconciled to God, not knowing the peace of God, never knowing the peace of God. We come here to disturb your peace, but we come that you would find peace with God through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Christ has already made peace by the blood of His cross. But it has to be received. You have to come for it, Jesus said. Come to me, come to me, come to me, He said. I will give you rest. How do I come, you say? You come in repentance and faith. That's how you come. Turning from your sin, forsaking yourself, casting yourself upon God's Son, Jesus Christ. Another way, friends. Are you going to go out of this world at peace with God? Then we can append to your tombstone, R.I.P. Then we can put on your funeral notes, R.I.P. But not until you've made peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, we don't come here to disturb you. We don't come here to harm. We don't come here to hate on you. We come here because we love you. And because we want you to know the peace of God. We want you to know that when you breathe your last, death will not hurry you into the damnation of hell, but into the presence of Almighty God. Because that's the only two destinations. There is no other, no such a place in all God's Word in the Bible called purgatory. It doesn't exist. The invention of the Pope to get more money out of you. Jesus alone, Christ Jesus, whom I declare to you this afternoon, no other. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could die on that cross and unlock the doors of heaven and let sinners in. Only Jesus. It's Him who died, rose again from the dead to justify sinners before Almighty God, to clear them in the court of heaven, and to give them rest for their souls, the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what we want for you. That's what we desire for you. That's what the Almighty desires for you. Truly as I live, says the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn. Why will you die when there is eternal life to be found in Jesus? And for the want of coming to Him, freely offered and given, and in the same way accepted. You see, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to be religious for it. You don't have to dress up in religious clothes. You don't have to flog yourself. You don't have to pray and meditate 5 or 7 times a day. You don't have to travel to the Middle East and back. You don't have to go to Rome and back. You don't have to kiss the feet of the Pope. All you have to do is come to Jesus, the Son of God, who issues an open letter to you and says to you, come to me. Whoever you are, come to me. I will give you rest. So come, friend. In the way of repentance and faith, come. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus says. for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because the king's at hand, that's why. And the king calls. Will you disobey the king? Will you turn your back on the king who calls you, who commands you, come? Oh, repent, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and shall be saved. Salvation, friends. Believe. Only believe, says Jesus. Trust in Him. Come to me, He says. I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. Take home with you. Read for yourself. See that these things are sure. Copy of the New Testament is offered to you. Free of charge and without cost. Obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. That's all you have to do is just take it out of my hand. And God says, that's all you have to do with my salvation. Just take it out of my hand. Receive it. Freely offered to you. Freely given. All the work's been done.